This hour brought to you by GCNLife.com. Eliminate bags under your eyes in minutes with Instantly Ageless from GCNLife.com.
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
Christmas reminds us that light always conquers darkness. Jesus is the light of the world.
As billions of people around the world are celebrating Christmas, New York City's Timothy Cardinal Dolan says his Christmas message is that Jesus came into the world as light.
What God is saying, of course, at this time of the year is, I know there's always darkness, but it's not going to have the last word. Light will.
President Trump is ripping the Federal Reserve again this Christmas after the stock market's latest dive yesterday, the Dow falling over 650 points, S&P 500 and NASDAQ both losing more than 2% of their value. The president says in a tweet, quote, "The only problem our economy has is the Fed." It raised interest rates again last week, the fourth rate hike this year. This is USA Radio News.
Are you one of those people who thinks it's okay to drive stoned? I mean, what's the worst that can happen? You end up driving below the speed limit? It's no big deal, right? Wrong. The truth is, your reaction times slow way down when you're high. You not only put yourself in danger, but everyone around you. Talk about a buzzkill. Stop kidding yourself. It's not okay to drive high. If you've been using marijuana in any form, do not get behind the wheel. If you feel different, you drive different. Drive high, get a DUI. Paid for by NHTSA.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly. At O'Reilly Auto Parts, we promise you'll get better parts, better prices every day. Our stores are stocked with high-quality parts and accessories at guaranteed low prices. And our friendly, well-trained professionals are standing by to help. So stop in and see how five simple words drive everything we do. O'Reilly Auto parts, better prices every day.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
A partial federal government shutdown continues with no end to it in sight, with today marking the fourth day of the funding stalemate that's shuttered a quarter of the federal government.
The partial government shutdown continues. 800,000 federal workers impacted, about half that number considered essential employees like air traffic controllers and TSA agents who are on the job and will get paid retroactively.
That's USA Radio's Robin Walensky reporting. The death toll from Saturday's tsunami in Indonesia has exceeded 430. More than 150 people are still unaccounted for, and some Indonesian authorities are privately telling reporters there's not much of a chance of finding any more survivors. In a Christmas Eve Mass at the Vatican, Pope Francis urges Catholics in prosperous nations to lead a simpler life, reminding worshipers that Jesus was born in poverty. And this is USA Radio News.
America is built and based on liberties and freedoms. Liberty HealthShare brings that to healthcare. The liberty of choosing your own doctor. The liberty of choosing your own hospital. Liberty HealthShare makes healthcare affordable to millions of Americans. Ignite your liberty. Sharing plans starting at $199 for a single, $399 for a couple, and no matter how big the family, only $529. That's $529 for the entire family. To learn how you can save, go to lightyourliberty.com. That's lightyourliberty.com.
Iraqis will soon celebrate Christmas as a national holiday. The Iraqi cabinet passing a law to mark Christmas Day an official holiday for the entire nation and not just Christians, citing the occasion of the birth of Jesus Christ. There are nearly 300,000 Christians in Iraq, although that's down from 1.4 million back in 2003. Flu season is now in full swing across America, and sometimes the flu and a cold can confuse folks. So here's USA Radio's Tim Berg with more.
The flu season runs now until May in most parts of the country, and the flu still kills over 30,000 people each year in the United States, although the disease does remain largely mysterious. I had a chance to catch up with Dr. Jeremy Brown. He's author of a new book titled Influenza, The 100-Year Hunt to Cure the Deadliest Disease in History, and I asked him, what is the difference between the flu and your common cold?
When you come down with the symptoms of achiness and chills, sometimes runny nose, extreme fatigue and a fever, it's very difficult in a clinical setting to tell somebody you certainly have the flu and you certainly don't have the flu, you have a different virus. So if it's not the flu, but you have, you know, a cold and you don't have a fever or you don't have those aches, then it's a different virus and probably probably not the flu.
Again, that report from USA Radio's Tim Berg. And for USA Radio News, Merry Christmas. I'm Chris Barnes.
Jake was in big trouble with the IRS. He owed how much?
$92,000.
Ouch. The IRS left no room for Jake to breathe.
They put a lien on my house, took all the money out of my bank account, took money out of my paychecks. So it was a nightmare.
He needed help fast.
I figured that all these companies were the same until I called Federal Tax Management. You could just tell they knew what they were talking about. Right then and there, I felt like I had some hope.
Stop the liens, levies, and garnishments fast and qualify for one of several special IRS programs that could reduce or even eliminate your tax debt. So, how'd it go for Jake?
They did what they said they would do. They came through for me. I ended up saving an unbelievable amount. I was so jazzed. I was extremely happy.
If you owe more than $10,000 in back taxes, take Jake's advice.
Give Federal Tax Management a phone call. If they help me, they can help anybody.
Call the Federal Tax Management Hotline now. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625.
Are you ready?
Yeah.
Okay, let's do it. Bill Martinez Live, a program about current events, our culture, our values, our politics, and our future. And now, Bill Martinez.
You better stop, hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going on.
Well, hello, America. 6 minutes after the top of the hour, I am Bill Martinez, and back with us is the Christie Award-winning author and consummate storyteller. And we're going to be talking about his new book. He was here previously, several weeks back, Ace Collins, and we visited and discussed his book, Stories Behind the Great Traditions of Christmas. Ace, I got to tell you, you are such a blessing. I am so glad that you came into our lives and that we are able to, this book, Story Behind the Great Traditions of Christmas, has been such a blessing. And I have been using it in my Advent, preparation and Advent period as well, because this is so cool, to know those stories. And I cannot thank you enough. You've been such a blessing.
Well, I think once we know the stories behind things, it really allows us to more fully look at the holidays with a different point of view. We suddenly see the effort that people put into things as being worth it. And people, essentially speaking, are decorating their homes, their cars and everything else. And they do it really for other people because, the God that we have and the trees that we have, it's for folks who come by and enjoy it. I mean, that's literally why we do it. And if you know the stories of why we have trees and mistletoe or lights, or ornaments and the different colors that mean things. And most people who put these up do not. But once you know the stories, the backstory, if you will, every one of those things means so much more to you. I mean, you start really getting into the Christmas spirit because the more you know, I guess the more you can enjoy. That may sound a little strange, but it really is true in this particular case. It's kind of like knowing the stories behind the songs of Christmas. Once you know what... Excuse me, a little early in the morning. Once you know where they came from and who wrote them and why they became lasting, iconic symbols of the holidays that come back each and every year, they're more important. There's something else involved, too. And I think Christmas is a time machine. Mm-hmm. And by that, I mean it is the only time each and every year that all of us are reintroduced on an annual basis to things from our past. It could be the song. It can be a light on a certain kind of lights on a tree. In my case, blue lights for my grandmother. That's all she ever had on her trees. I see a blue light, I think of my grandmother. And suddenly, she's very much alive to me. And I can see her house and I can smell her food cooking in the kitchen. And I can hear her voice and I can see the tree. And I can remember the incredible Christmases that she put together with us, really with very little money. And it made us feel so special. I can remember her inviting people to the table who didn't have family in. That's one blue light that does all that. No other time of the year do we have something like that that brings the past alive and wipes away the years.
Exactly.
And that is something that I think that's another reason these traditions and these songs mean so much to us, because they are able to take us back in time at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
They're able to restore a little bit of the childlike excitement of seeing this for the very first time. I said to somebody the other day, I said, the key to Christmas is looking at everything like you're a four-year-old and seeing it for the very first time.
Right.
And boy, if you sit there and look at it, think, going, wow, look at that tree.
Yes.
It's like the first time you've ever really noticed it where you can talk about it.
Mm-hmm.
It means so much more to you.
Well, I got to tell you, in reading your book, I mean, that dynamic took place. I mean, because you start looking at Christmas trees, and of course, a little bit of controversy here in the last couple of weeks, couldn't help but think of you, was it a school principal that said, wait a minute, we can't even have candy canes in the school anymore because of the J-shaped at the end of the candy cane. That represents Jesus. And, you know, I thought, well, she must have either heard our interview or read your book, because we did talk about the candy cane and the red stripe representing the blood, the white, the purity of Christ, the purity of God's love and all that. And, you know, I thought, oh, this is, you know, this is all interesting. But again, you know, to your point is that when you understand and appreciate, you know, the traditions of Christmas and the stories behind it, it adds such a dimension and appreciation for why we celebrate Christmas. The other thing, too, Ace, I got to tell you, I mean, I stopped to realize that. I go, like no other holiday on our calendars do we celebrate Christmas, like for weeks. I mean, which really is a blessing of God, you know, because like no other holiday. I mean, everything else is like a one day. Maybe it's a weekend thing. But here we get weeks.
Anyone who complains, if you're a Christian and you're complaining about the commercialization of Christmas, you're missing a valuable opportunity. Christmas is 6 weeks long, basically, all over the world.
Right.
You know, there are a few countries that don't celebrate, but in Japan, China, everywhere else, it's Christmas. That gives you 6 weeks to talk about what Christmas really means, about
exactly
explaining the traditions, the stories behind songs, and everything else. It gives you 6 weeks of open opportunity to talk about it. And you don't get that at Easter. Easter is a weekend holiday, and it's also, Easter is very much a Christian holiday.
Right.
Christmas, because of the commercialization of Christmas, is a holiday for everyone. Mm-hmm. And that is a door, you know, anybody who's sitting there complaining about that commercialization is missing the opportunity that God has given us to actually use that to our benefit. I mean, after all, if it hadn't been to a certain degree for the commercialization of Christmas in the United States, it would have never been a big holiday. You know, the government might still be opening on Christmas Day like they did the first 60 years.
Exactly.
If it wasn't for the fact that it was turned into a commercial holiday with the focus on children. Before that, it was Mardi Gras on steroids in the United States. It was
right.
Drinking and revelry. And it wasn't a time for children, and it wasn't a time for women. It was a time for marauding gangs of men to roam the streets and get drunk.
Right.
And, you know, and the wonderful poem by Moore, A Visit from St. Nick, we noticed
yes.
the night before Christmas, changed all that in the United States. And suddenly,
I was going to say, right.
The only churches before that that were opening doors were Catholic churches and Lutheran churches that had that Eastern European experience of Christmas as opposed to the Roman Empire experience of Christmas. And then all the other Protestant churches started their opening their doors on Christmas thanks to that poem about
exactly.
Santa Claus.
Exactly.
And that, once again, that's a gift that many people may not like, but it's a gift that we've been given and that we should want to use in a very big way. And one of the reasons, by the way, that we have Christmas going on for so long is during World War II, Franklin Roosevelt asked storekeepers to start decorating for Christmas early and selling Christmas presents early so that the men overseas could receive their presents before Christmas. And so, you know, and so we were doing it back then for what an incredible reason to make sure that those men eventually got to be 12 million in World War II that were fighting overseas to get a Christmas present and actually open it on Christmas Day if they were at Iwo Jima or in, you know, fighting the Battle of the Bulge. Their Christmases still came, and we made sure of that. So that opened the door for Christmas being as long as...
And so many stories abound about Christmas and the battlefront. We're going to be talking more with Ace Collins as a follow-up to stories behind the great traditions of Christmas. We are going to go to the stories behind the best love songs of Christmas. You're going to, if you've got your hands on the stories behind, you're going to want the songs of, let me tell you. More from Ace Collins on the other side of the break. Stay with us, America. It's just about 15 minutes after the top of the hour.
You may need this herbal tea for relief right away, so write this down. DrMillersClinic.com. If you take meds, then suffer stomach distress, constipation, indigestion, acid reflux, and bloating, and nothing else helps, get Dr. Miller's Holy Tea or Super Holy Tea, a cleansing, detoxifying herbal tea now available at great rates direct from Dr. Miller's office. Call or click 888-660-7039 or DrMillersClinic.com.
Heart-related health problems affect millions of people each year. Maybe you're one of the many who suffer from issues related to angina pain, high blood pressure, congestive heart failure, unbalanced cholesterol, irregular heartbeat, or clogged arteries. There is a solution that doesn't involve expensive prescription drugs that only mask the problem and leave you with horrible side effects. If you are ready to live your life free of sickness, pain, and fear, live your life with increased vitality, energy, and youthfulness, and experience your body healing it, then you're ready for Heart and Body Extract from Healthy Hearts Club. Here is what one satisfied customer had to say about Heart and Body Extract regarding his angina pain.
I haven't had an angina pain since I've been on it. The Heart Body Extract is just so great. I thank God that I was led to this product that's doing so much for me and that can do so much for other people.
Call to order your 2-month supply of Heart and Body Extract today. Call 1-866-295-5305 or go to hbextract.com.
The United States of Empire is a book that claims the United States is the empire of the world. George Washington had warned us against foreign wars. The United States of Empire shows that World Wars I and II left England broken. Its former colony, the U.S., had to save the empire. Was there ever a vote? Who do we fight for? The Deep State began with World War I. The United States of Empire by James Dunn. Available at Amazon Books.
Anytime, any place, anywhere. Radio remains the most intimate of all forms of media. At home, at work, in the car, on smartphones. Over 90% of consumers still listen to radio every week. That makes choosing radio as a place to advertise your business one of the best decisions you can make. Email advertise@gcnlive.com and partner up with an experienced GCN representative. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
All right, crew, let's get her dug.
Honey, you want to give me a hand? I'm planting that tree, remember?
No matter how large or small your digging project may be, no matter how urban or rural, you must always call 811 before any digging project. 811 is our national one-call number, alerting your local utility companies to come out and mark any lines they have near your dig site. You must call 811 at least 2 to 3 business days before any digging project so you can avoid hitting our essential buried utilities. This includes natural gas and petroleum pipelines, electric, communication cables, and water and sewer lines. So before you do this or this, make sure you do this. For digging projects big or small, make the call to 811. Brought to you by Common Ground Alliance.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to produce an endless supply of nano-sized silver solutions right from the convenience of your home. Silver Lung. With the addition of our unique lung delivery system, respiratory infections are targeted directly, where traditional oral administration simply cannot reach. This pioneering method also preserves the original particle sizes and delivers your silver solution directly into the bloodstream. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at silverlungs.com. That's silverlungs.com.
You're listening to Bill Martinez live.
Have yourself a merry little Christmas. Let your heart be light. Next year, all our troubles will be out of side.
Your program, your calls, your opinions. Bill Martinez live.
Have yourself.
Hey, our visit with Ace Collins continues. We're talking the stories behind the best love songs of Christmas. And, of course, this particular song that we just played, Have Yourself a Merry Little Christmas, that is quite the backstory as well, doesn't it, Ace?
Oh, it's introduced by Judy Garland in the film Meet Me in St. Louis. She almost went to record it because the original songwriters had written in a line that was perfect for the movie because the people were moving and they didn't know if they'd ever see, could ever see the boy she loved again. And the line, you know, said basically, next year we may be living in the past. This may be our Christmas last.
Mm.
And she said that is not the right message to send out during World War II. And she made the songwriters rewrite it into the line that we just heard. And that is one of three dynamic songs that was released, that were released in World War II that have become iconic hits. And I think they were, they became iconic because of when they were released. Mm-hmm. The first one was White Christmas.
Right.
It was first sung on the radio Christmas Day, 1941. So just about 3 weeks after Pearl Harbor. And you can imagine the mood of America at that particular point. And Bing Crosby, who had been introduced to this song by the writer Irving Berlin, and Berlin did not like the song. He thought it was a pretty bad song and actually offered to rewrite it for the movie Holiday Inn, and Crosby loved it the way it was.
Mm-hmm.
Crosby sang it that night because he felt it was the right time to debut White Christmas. America needed to hear a song like that, and the phone lines lit up at the network. Mm-hmm. And ironically, the record was not released until the following year, so it became the number one hit in 1942, and it's the best-selling single of all time, Christmas or not. The other song that was introduced in World War II that had such a dramatic impact was also introduced by Crosby in 1943. It's only 12 lines long, and it's I'll Be Home for Christmas. Mm. And you can imagine what that had meant when you actually had places empty at the table. And by the way, there's a line in that song no one understands, and presents on the tree. Back then, most presents were small enough you could actually tie them on the tree, wrap a little package tied on the tree as part of the Christmas decoration.
Mm-hmm. Mm. Yeah, that's that had people, you know, crying all over the country and you know, on the battlefield.
And literally
as well.
All over the world. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Well, you know, Asa, when you start out the book, you refer and tell this backstory of angels from the realms of glory. Did this kind of start the whole, you know, Christmas music revolution? I mean, we had Christmas music all along, but I mean, where we really got into, you know, the participation, you know, people engaging with, you know, Christmas carols and that. Was that the start of it all?
Well, that's when it opened. That was the song that really opened it up.
Mm-hmm.
It came along at the right time in England. Prince Albert had just married, you know, the English Queen Victoria, mm-hmm. and he had brought those German traditions with him. And while they had had German, they had Christmas songs in church in Germany, the Church of England had not celebrated Christmas, and they started celebrating Christmas, and that was the first Christmas song really introduced by the Church of England. So there's no doubt in England that kicked off the English love of carols and Christmas music. It written, ironically enough, by an Irish Catholic,
yes.
And so an Irish Catholic was the one who introduced Christmas music to the Protestants in England, and he was a revolutionary.
Well, exactly. I mean, you got him. You know, I mean, here's the odds between the Irish and the British, and he's one of the lightning rods on the Irish side, right? And who would have thought he's the one?
And he never led a revolution, but except in the way of church Christmas music. That's the revolution he led.
Yeah.
The oldest song that we sing to this day, that we sing in its entirety, is another one that we probably should have known. It's Come Emmanuel. It was sung, probably written back in the 8th century.
Mm-hmm.
Could have been as late as the 10th century. And then kind of disappeared. And then a man named Wade found it when he was doing research. He was a priest. And he found it and translated it to Latin. And this is in the last 250 years. We're singing it again.
Yes.
And it is a song that goes back probably 1,200 years. That is the oldest complete song that we sing. And if you listen to Come Emmanuel, you can imagine monks in some monastery somewhere.
Oh, could you hear?
Harmonizing on that song.
Oh, the walls echoing their voices like that. What a sound.
How about Silent Night?
Silent Night is the accidental biggest hit of Christmas. Yes, White Christmas has sold more copies, but no song has been sung more, and no Christmas song is known by more people than Silent Night. Silent Night is the result of an organ breaking down in a church in Oppendorf, Austria, 200 years ago this Christmas Eve. And there's all kinds of legends of why it broke down. Really, it was just an organ that had been going bad and finally gave up the ghost. And it sent a 21-year-old priest into a panic because this was his first ever Christmas Mass he was in charge of. And he ran over to a friend of his who was a school teacher and said, "Franz, I've got a real problem." He said, "This is a service of music, and we don't have an organ." And he said, "Well, I'll play the guitar." He said, "Our songs won't work on guitar." And that was when the two of them got to talking about, well, maybe we could write something. And Moore remembered a song he had written 2 years before while visiting an uncle. It really wasn't a song. It was a poem at that time. Gruber set it to music. I think it's a miracle that Moore could actually find the poem he had written
before
in his uncle's house. I mean, that's a miracle in itself. So it literally saved Christmas. The reason we know Silent Night, though, is because somebody had to come fix the organ. And when the guy came to fix the organ 3 weeks later, he said, "You know, what did y'all do for Christmas music?" And Moore picked up a guitar and sang in Silent Night, still not comic enough in the language of that period. And 30 years later, this priest is walking along a street in Cologne, Germany, and hears his song coming from a cathedral and wonders why. Because it had been used once as a stopgap measure in his church. And found out that this guy who had fixed the organ had been the Johnny Appleseed of Silent Night and had taken it everywhere with him. And it was being sung all over the world, and the priest who wrote it had no clue at that particular point. And it is a miracle, therefore, that we know this song. And what is even better about this story is, what is the name of the church where Silent Night was first performed? St. Nicholas.
Yeah, go figure, huh? A lot of songs about angels, huh?
Well, you know, angels we have heard on high. You know, "Hark, the Herald Angels Sing." "Gloria." You know, you start listing all the songs that are angels. Ironically, that's probably the best known one is "Hark, the Herald Angels Sing." It was not written with that line. It was written by Charles Wesley as "Hark, the Velkin Ring." And Velkin meant heavenly host. And the Bible, it actually talks about their voices not singing. And Wesley was always hacked off that this song, that the publisher changed it and said, "Hark, the Herald Angels Sing." He wanted it to be kept as "Hark, the Velkin Ring." And so, because that was much more a literal translation. And yet, when you look at these songs, and so many of these songs, by the way, were written by not people like Charles Wesley. They were written by people who were just commoners.
Yes.
Who had heard the Christmas stories, but who may not have been able to read. And so they had shepherds and wise men arriving at the same time and all this other stuff that was theologically incorrect. Yet, you can hear their enthusiasm and their love of Christmas when they write these songs, when we sing these songs today. Go back 600 years. An English commoner wrote the song "God Rest You Merry Gentlemen." I always was confused by that as a kid. Why would God want happy people to sleep?
Right.
I mean, that's what it sounds like, right?
Well, yes.
Rest back then meant make or keep. God make you merry gentlemen. Well, also, Robin Hood and his merry men. Robin Hood and his merry men had another meaning. It was Robin Hood and his mighty men. So the man probably wrote that song with this meaning: God make you mighty gentlemen, let nothing you dismay, remember Christ your Savior was born on Christmas Day. If you think of it that way, that becomes an incredibly powerful carol.
It does add some dimension, no doubt. So much more in the stories behind the best loved songs of Christmas. Ace Collins, and don't forget the accompanying book, Stories Behind the Great Traditions of Christmas as well. Ace, as always, they'll be linked on our website and available at all the usual places. Get your hands. You will be blessed on them this Christmas season. Ace Collins, thank you so much. Merry Christmas.
This message is sponsored by AmeriGlide, featuring the nation's best prices on a home stairlift. Are you having a difficult time getting around your home? Do you avoid going up and down the stairs? Have you even considered moving from your lifelong home just to avoid the stairs? Forget about moving and call Ameriglide and learn how an easy-to-install stair lift is the perfect solution to help you get your freedom back. Plus, we guarantee the nation's best prices. Make this free call today to learn more. No sales visits are necessary. We can help you over the phone. Now you can stay in the home you've been in for decades. Please do yourself or your loved one a favor. Make this simple 2-minute call right now. Get the lowest price on a stair lift anywhere. Here's the number. 800-296-1434. 800-296-1434. 800-296-1434. That's 800-296-1434.
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
Christmas reminds us that light always conquers darkness. Jesus is the light of the world.
As billions of people around the world are celebrating Christmas, New York City's Timothy Cardinal Dolan says his Christmas message is that Jesus came into the world as light.
What God is saying, of course, at this time of the year is, I know there's always darkness, but it's not going to have the last word. Light will.
President Trump is ripping the Federal Reserve again this Christmas after the stock market's latest dive yesterday, the Dow falling over 650 points, S&P 500 and NASDAQ both losing more than 2% of their value. The president says in a tweet, quote, "The only problem our economy has is the Fed. It raised interest rates again last week, the fourth rate hike this year." This is USA Radio News.
There's no question you need omega-3s. But which form should you take? Fish oil or krill oil? Scientists have debated this for years. Luckily, there's a new solution to satisfy everyone. It's called Krill Omega 50 Plus. It combines ultra-pure fish oil and joint-soothing krill oil together in just one tiny pill. It's so powerful, it can promote the health of your heart and your arteries. And if that wasn't enough, it can also boost your joint comfort in just days. We're so sure Krill Omega 50 Plus will work for you. We'll even send you a free bottle to put to the test. The debate is over. It's not fish oil or krill oil. It's both. And now it's free. Just pay $4.95 for shipping and claim your free bottle. Call now. 1-800-399-6392. 1-800-399-6392. That's 1-800-399-6392.
You're listening to Bill Martinez live.
Thank you for everything. Thank you for loving me. It don't even matter what tomorrow brings. Well, I will say my thank you for sun and rain.
It's always a great day here at Bill Martinez live.
Goodness, I will always say
Martinez here. It's always great to have you along with us, sharing a part of the show and sharing a part of your day with you. Good. Jeff Kemp is back with us, quarterback in the NFL for 11 years, playing for the Rams, the Niners, the Seahawks, and the Eagles. He and his father, Jack Kemp, were the first father-son quarterbacks in NFL history. Jeff, I got to imagine, you know, when you think back on your life and times in the NFL, your dad, all that he contributed, not only in professional sports, but as a servant leader, you know, the tradition of your family, and you're introduced with the Kemp last name, and I know your brother the same way, and the fact that you guys are working together, this just has to be real special for you.
Well, you know what? Having your dad play football, man, you getting to play football is fun. We had a lot in common because of that, but then realizing, you know, the NFL is a great heritage. Mm-hmm. And dad having used that platform to serve more than just his interests, running for Congress, championing growth and free enterprise for America, especially for inner cities. He worked with a lot of his African-American teammates through the years, helping them get their businesses started and work through some of the challenges and become leaders, learn how to run for office. He was president of the Players Association and merged the AFL and the NFL Players Association. Wow. He wasn't afraid of unions and their purpose, but he definitely wasn't for a socialistic approach to America.
Right.
So, yes, it's awesome to know that I walk in the steps of a man who lived his life to make life better for others.
Mm-hmm. For all that he did in the NFL and in serving the people, what would he say right now in terms of the NFL and how its brand has been challenged by maybe getting involved in things outside of the lines of play?
I don't know. Dad had a bleeding heart and wanted opportunity for people who hadn't gotten it. He was conscious of America's history of slavery and prejudice, discrimination. He would like to see greater leadership from minorities that said, let's be responsible and not just look for government to fix our problems.
Right.
And sometimes that leadership isn't the most visible leadership.
But Jeff, don't you say though in sports and professional sports, I've maintained this, is that when you're on a professional team or any kind of team, even when I was in high school or little league for that example, we didn't look to skin color. We just hey, could you play third base? Can you get the ball to can you throw the guy out?
That was always Dad's point. The huddle was the great equalizer. You got in the huddle, you didn't say, where'd you come from? How much money did your dad have? What race are you? What religion are you? It was, hey, can you block this guy? And can you get open and catch the ball? And in that sense, it helped him understand and see all people as equal, made in God's image. Mm-hmm. It's really, human
but
pride.
I think my point to say that. My point to say that, Jeff, is because you've grown up with that heritage, and I got a taste of it playing in sports most of my life as well, and I'm saying, why can't that translate the opposite as opposed to, it seems like we've convoluted it. We could learn so much from the NFL, from team play. Coach Bill McCartney with the Colorado,
Buffaloes,
and what he did in terms of team building about being shoulder to shoulder and back to back. I mean, I've heard his introduction and to his players the first time they would come and be a part of the team there. And boy, I'll tell you, by the time he finished, prejudice was out the door. It's just like you said, can you catch the ball? Can you score the points? And you think, gosh, if we can embrace what has happened there on the field of play, why can't that translate into our culture? But yet we'll come together every weekend, several times over the weekends and even during the week, and celebrate our teams. And that's what they do on the field. I mean, the quarterback's not going to sit there and go, oh, there's a black guy out there. I'm not going to throw the ball at him. Oh, where's the white guy? Let me go find him, right?
Right. Well, it's a political era where politics and Twitter-length news are very much label-oriented, and extreme things get blown out of proportion, and the people on either side react to the extreme comment of the other side, not even dialoguing with that person. So we're all reacting to exaggerated positions.
Exactly.
In this modern media era. Senator James Lankford gave an award on behalf of the Jack Kemp Foundation last year to Senator Tim Scott, African-American senator from South Carolina. Lankford and he are buddies, real close buddies. Lankford's from Oklahoma. And Lankford laid out something interesting that he does personally that I think would help all of us. He calls it the dinner table principle. He invites people from different backgrounds to dinner.
Yeah.
And they get to know each other's story. Tell me about your grandparents. Where'd you come from? What'd your family go through? What are your interests? Over the dinner table, we find out people's backstory, and pretty soon we have so much more in common.
Mm-hmm.
The good thing about America today is you will find integration in schools, universities, jobs, careers, far more than in the past.
Mm-hmm.
But there isn't really kind of ideological integration, because we see blacks kind of lumped into the Democratic Party, and obviously whites are split, but the Trump crowd and the Republican Party, and people kind of dividing and keeping with their crew ideologically.
You know what?
We need to sit down with people at lunch, breakfast, have them to dinner.
Mm-hmm.
It's good for our kids to get to know folks from other backgrounds. So I love the dinner
table. That's a great example.
And also, I articulate the dinner table principle. If you had someone to dinner and you were debating an issue, you wouldn't call them a name. You wouldn't point at your finger at them. You might disagree, but there'd be a certain modicum of respect. What if we could keep that same principle in our Facebook and Twitter feeds and news articles and comments on radio and TV?
Yeah, without a doubt. Well, yeah, if you take the time to understand somebody's worldview, why they have the perspective they do, it really broadens the appreciation for the miracle that is before you at your dinner table. I know that for Tim Scott really blessed a lot of people because he and Trey Gowdy wrote a book along the same line of what he and and Langford enjoyed. And these are great examples that we can pick up from other people. I often say, if you want to be successful, go and see what other successful people are doing. And this is a case in point. It's a great example. I'm glad you shared that story.
Cool.
Yeah. Jeff, real quick.
Langford's a good man, so is Scott.
Yeah, exactly. Well, we got a couple of minutes left here, and in Facing the Blitz, your ongoing series here, you asked a poignant question that's going to stop a lot of men in their tracks, and that is, would you be married to me? You know, would you be married to yourself?
Would you want to be married to someone who behaved the way you do? Yeah. I sent that video out this past week, and one of my friends, when he saw the question, the headline in the top of the email, it said, would I want to be married to me? He said, no, I wouldn't want to be married to me. Man, I'm lucky I'm married to my wife. But the point, that's not the point. The point is, if you put yourself in the shoes of your spouse, ask yourself, what is marriage like for them? Are they getting paid attention to? Are they having some courtesy? Are they being prioritized? Do they get the conversation and the affection and assistance and help and consideration that they deserve? In other words, are you really serving and loving and meeting the needs of their spouse to make the marriage great for them? And if we focus on the other, then we're going to have the best version of our spouse coming back to us.
Exactly.
So that's the question that that helps you act like an investor and a giver in the relationship rather than a consumer and a taker.
The fact of the matter is, as you and I have discussed this before, Jeff, our spouses are a reflection of us. So when we complain about our spouse not doing something, it's that old, you know, one finger going forward, three coming back. You're not fooling anybody. I mean, this is of your own responsibility. The wife you have is the very wife you created, is it not? Jeff, how can people be in touch with you?
They can get that resource, Facing Your Blitz, by signing up for it. It's at facingtheblitz.com. And then my speaking website is jeffkempteam.com. So there's two, jeffkempteam.com for my speaking and coaching executives and Christian ministry to men, and then facingtheblitz.com for the book and the Bible study and the devotion.
Jeff Kemp, always a pleasure. Thank you so much for being with us. Happy Thanksgiving, buddy. Take care. You got it.
Yeah, we have much to be thankful for.
Amen.
Thank you.
Life insurance is one of those things that just about everybody needs, but few people actually have. Hey, if you die unexpectedly without life insurance, guess what? You'll leave your family with even a bigger mess. Life insurance will help replace your family's income. It'll help cover burial expenses. Life insurance can even help pay off debt like credit cards and medical bills. Life insurance can even pay for college. And if you own a business and you die, life insurance can help your business from collapsing. It can even help cover estate taxes. Life insurance has never been more affordable and needed. Plus, you can always shop around even if you have a plan and save some money. So call the Life Insurance Quote Line right now for free pricing information.
800-915-9164. 800-915-9164. 800-915-9164. That's 800-915-9164.
Were you scammed into signing a timeshare contract? And did you miss the part that said you have to pay for your great idea? Not only for the rest of your life, but when you're not here anymore, you get to pass this turkey onto your family for them to pay for the rest of their lives. Thanks, Dad. Don't burden your family down the road, and don't be stuck with expensive timeshare payments forever. Get out of your bad idea timeshare contract guaranteed or pay nothing. Call Resort Release today and learn for free how their timeshare exit team can help you legally exit your timeshare contract. They've helped thousands of people, and they're A-plus rated with a BBB. So if you feel scammed, get mad, and get out of your expensive timeshare contract right now, guaranteed. Call NOW.
800-485-2167. 800-485-2167. 800-485-2167. That's 800-485-2167.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. Do you feel like you're losing control over your finances? If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, we can help you take back control. The IRS is the largest and most aggressive collection agency in the world, and they can seize your bank account, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Take control of your tax problems now by calling the experts at Tax Mediation Services and take advantage of the Fresh Start program and new laws that may allow us to negotiate a settlement for the lowest amount possible. Our team of tax attorneys and enrolled agents can stop collections and get you protected so you can take control of your financial future. Tax Mediation Services is accredited by the Better Business Bureau. Call now for a free case review and a price protection guaranteed quote.
Call Tax Mediation Services now at 800-301-5435. That's 800-301-5435. 800-301-5435.
The final phase of extermination is set to commence now, and as population die-off becomes evident, you know it is the time of punishment in all that is written. The cover for mass die-off is evolution and global warming frauds, also used as false proof of their Christ. They are from the lines that were disinherited 2,000 years ago. Now they claim to be his Christ based upon blood type, DNA, and long lifespan. Go to unveilingthem.com. That's UNVEILINGthem.com.
Water is the single most important thing your body needs, so you want to be sure it's the purest for you and your family. For over 14 years, thousands have depended on Berkey Clean Water. The Berkey guy has you covered at home, work, and on the go. With water filtration systems of every size for every budget, now GCN listeners receive 10% off ceramic filter systems using code GCN at GoBerkey.com or call 877-886-3653. GoBerkey.com.
Bill Martinez live.
I can't hide, no, I can't keep quiet. It's like my heart's on fire, and I can't get over it, can't get control.
Join us online at BillMartinezLive.com.
Welcome back, America. 14 minutes before the top of the hour. Pray it's a great holiday for you that you were enjoying. You know, this holiday season is so awesome. You know, you think about it. Of all the holidays we have, I mean, what other holiday but Christmas do we have, you know, 4 to 6 weeks in which to get prepared for it? I know people are like, I'd much rather it come and go sooner. But also, I'm grateful that we get to have family time. It's like every weekend you get to go and spend some time with family and friends and, you know, Christmas parties and all this. And this is a great way, I believe, you know, in the spirit of unity and peace on earth, goodwill toward all men to get together. Hey, good news as far as speaking of which, Christmas Day gas prices. I don't know if you saw this, but boy, it is going down. I mean, we're probably going to have the lowest gas prices that we've experienced in the last couple of years here across the country. And it's being reported all over the place. My son is paying, gosh, I mean, I think almost $4 a gallon in California. Of course, California is wacky. Here I fueled up at the gas tank in Florida, and I think we paid about $2.30 a gallon is what we paid. You know, so big swing, you know, almost $2 difference per gallon from East Coast to West Coast. But, you know, that's why we love California so much. And we, you know, they're just, you know, an example of all the insanity that continues. Kenny Stein joins us right now. Speaking of issues, let's go across the waters here and get an update on what's going on with all these French protests over Macron's carbon tax disaster. And, boy, I'll tell you, there's a lot to be discerned out of what is going on there in France. Kenny Stein, Kenny is, just to give you a little bit of background, Director of Policy for IER. Kenny, welcome to Bill Martinez Live. How are you?
Glad to be on. Thanks.
Hey, so break it down for us. What do we need to understand about what's happening there in France?
Well, this is, as you said, it's officially a carbon tax, and but the actual revolt specifically was over the gas tax part of that carbon tax. Mm-hmm. And there were some new taxes that were supposed to take effect January 1st coming up here that would have, the equivalent to per gallon would be 30 cents per gallon more in taxes on diesel and about 10 cents per gallon on regular gasoline. Uh-huh. But that was in addition to taxes that went up here in 2018. And that's right. In addition to more scheduled tax increases in the future. So
what do they think? They're California or something, huh?
Yeah, right. Well, their gas price is actually worse than California. Already. Mm-hmm. And then they're talking about pushing the price up even further. And finally, the people just, they had enough and they started protesting and they haven't stopped. We're going on 5-6 weeks now that they just keep coming.
Are in the process of all this, I mean, Macron is now extremely vulnerable with what's going on. Also, the whole, you know, global warming issue is coming about. Is the whole global warming debate, is this going to blow up there in Paris, which has been the headquarters for, you know, climate control?
Right. Well, the timing of it actually was for the climate alarmists was very unfortunate because it came just a couple weeks before their big powwow over in Poland, where they were, you know, they were going to advance, you know, we're going to advance the agreement. We're going to figure out how to do more. We're going to do more. But France, who is one of the leading proponents of all these taxes and reducing energy use and reducing carbon dioxide emissions, they're having an internal revolt and they're falling apart. Their whole carbon tax plan is falling apart. So the timing of it really undermined whatever momentum they were hoping to get out of Poland. And you saw just this weekend, they announced a big fanfare. Oh, we came to this agreement. Oh, happy la-di-da, hold hands. They really didn't agree on much of anything. It was basically that we can't walk away with saying we didn't come up with anything.
Right. Well, Kenny, I guess, you know, with all due respect, I mean, for the, you know, climate alarmists, as you say, you know, I think that reasonable Americans are open for the conversation, but you've got to wade through all this, you know, politicization, this prejudice, you know, things that are abhorrent to science. We know that science has been prejudiced, especially if it comes from the United Nations. I mean, the fix is in. And it's like, man, we're being worked here. Is there any place we can turn to get the facts to where, you know, for those of us that want to be good stewards of the resources that God has given us, who can we count on? We know it can't be Al Gore or the United Nations or, you know, Tom Steyer and go on down the line. You know, but we want to know, really, what is the truth of the matter here?
Right. Well, that's the problem. And this has become a politicized issue, unfortunately, because as you said, we all want to be good stewards of the environment. But I think a good way for folks to try and see through some of this is that if someone is offering an idea and says, hey, this would be good for the environment, you know, all right, maybe they have something to say. But if they're saying that you must do what I say,
yes,
or else you don't care about the environment, that's when your antenna should go up and say, wait a minute, this is more a political, this is the control message. This isn't really about helping the environment. So that's usually how I analyze some of the statements, is that's how I divide the wheat from the chaff.
Right. And the thing is, academics have been greatly prejudiced. I mean, we've already seen what's happened. It's been weaponized there in academia to such a degree that if you don't go along to get along, they're going to find a way to get rid of you. I mean, that's been well documented. And that's a shame considering, you know, the amount of talent we've lost along the wayside here and the wasted time. But I think more than anything else is just the carnage of humanity. I mean, you got some brilliant people that, I'm sorry, disagree with the false evidence and the stuff that's going on. And, of course, you know, the government, you know, which is what Donald Trump is saying, is that, hey, it's no wonder we're getting this kind of these kind of reports, because we're paying for that kind of report. We're rewarding scientists to fudge the figures. As long as they give us what it is that we're looking for, our, you know, our preconceived notion, then they get more money. If they dare go against our beliefs and try to say that the world is actually round, well, then, you know, what kind of scientists are they?
It's true. There's a lot of intimidation in the academy now, and particularly in climate science, where you get grants from the government, you get grants from private foundations if you confirm the alarmist narrative. The people that say, hey, wait a minute, this might not be that bad, they don't get money, they don't get tenure at universities, and, you know, they basically are shut out of the system. So
exactly.
It's very much they're all forcing the narrative here, and that makes you question all of climate science. It really undermines.
Well, that's the thing that's frustrating, Kenny, to my point, is that, you know, for those of us that want to be reasonable and we want to, you know, consider, you know, our responsibility in stewarding our planet here, how can we do this when, you know, we're all confused as to what's going on? And then, of course, what happens in our government, the people that get greatly penalized are the very people that, you know, that shouldn't be penalized, which is the poor. I mean, getting, you know, cheap energy, which is what we're getting now. I mean, because of these, you know, the eradication of regulations that were imposed on us by the Obama administration. You know, I mean, this was killing the middle class and particularly the poor people, because this is right off the top. I mean, this isn't, you know, I mean, they need energy in order to heat their homes and just deal with daily issues. And we're just, you know, clobbering them all in the name of this, you know, I kind of feel like Don Quixote chasing windmills here. I mean, where's the reality of, you know, climate science?
Well, and that's, you're right about these sorts of policies hit the poor the hardest. And that's what you saw in France. It was the working class and the middle class folk living in rural areas that they have to drive to work. They have to drive to get groceries. Like, they don't have an option. They can't take the metro. They don't have an option to, they don't have an alternative to their vehicles. So when you raise taxes on fuel, they pay more. And for people that don't make that much money, that are already kind of on the edge, that extra $500,000 a year in gas taxes can put them into the red.
Exactly. Well, what does this say to America? I mean, is America, you know, taking anything out of what's going on in the streets of France with, you know, policies that are clobbering the middle class and the poor? Is that translating to the Nancy Pelosi's and Chuck Schumer's of this age?
Well, that's what's interesting, is I think it actually has. You've even seen just in the last few weeks, as the Democrats prepared to take over the House, they've stopped talking about carbon taxes. They've they've changed over to this new Green New Deal idea, which is we just spend a bunch more money. They're not talking about the taxes and the economic restraint that they used to be talking about. And I think that's a direct correlation to this revolt you're seeing in France. They finally have been like, understood that this is not popular, so we're going to try this different tack, which is just subsidize all the things that we like and spend a bunch of money on, you know, windmills and whatever else they want to put into this Green New Deal.
Kenny, why can't they do the math? I mean, this is a mathematical equation, right? I mean, that, you know, anybody, I mean, a third grader can do the math on this and figure out that it's not sustainable. And meanwhile, as you say, you know, Democrats in true form, and like all, you know, aspiring socialists, it's like, if you only gave us more money, if we only had more time, then we could prove we're right. I mean, forget about all the other time and all, you know, how much money we've spent on green energy already, right?
Yeah, exactly. There's always more money to be spent, let's put it that way.
I guess maybe if we went and took the money out of their bank accounts, it might be a little bit different. But I guess when you have access to the people's treasury, I guess it's kind of okay, right?
Or you can just borrow it from China. That's what we're really doing.
Exactly. Kenny Stein is the Director of Policy for the Institute for Energy Research. Kenny, thank you so much for the insight. Appreciate it. Have a great day.
Thanks for having me.
You got it.
Marijuana has unleashed a green gold rush across our nation. It's creating $10.8 billion in new wealth a year. And every day, it's transforming more and more Americans into millionaires. In an historic event, former Speaker of the House John Boehner reveals how you could become one of them. Join him online for the American Cannabis Summit. Attendance is 100% free, but space is limited. Join online at www.acs2018.com. This event is the first of its kind ever. John Boehner and an esteemed panel will reveal which cannabis stocks are primed to deliver life-changing windfalls in the weeks and months ahead. Plus, they will show you how to become a cannabis angel investor, backing the hottest startups before they potentially become worth billions of dollars. Join American Cannabis Summit online at acs2018.com. Attendance is free. That's acs2018.com.
You've seen crazy diets to